The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Missed the first hour? You missed a lot of Josh Innes and A-J, which I was enjoying. I kind of would just sat here and listen to you guys all day. That'd be a good show.
When you're late for the show and I text you and say, update, question mark, on the way isn't really an update. I was more like saying, when are you planning on being here?
Yeah, well, I also...
On the way is like...
I was driving, and you know I don't text and drive, so I'm not going to stop and put a whole... Well, I think it's going to be...
Well, you could have called Aaron then.
Well, I could have, but, I mean, I was going to make it for the last segment, so I knew that much. Right. And you'd already started the other segment because I was like 2 minutes away at that point. So,
well, I mean, you could have texted 2 minutes away.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys were already into the segment, so what difference did it make?
Okay.
I was going to be there by the end of the segment. So, regardless, I wasn't exactly thinking clearly, AJ, when I was covered in dog poo and had to rush home and clean up and everything else. I mean, admittedly, that takes you off your game a little bit, okay? All I was thinking about was I need to get my ass back to the office now. And of course, now I'm in traffic.
Right.
Which, not as bad as normal 4 p.m. Houston traffic pre-Rona, but certainly worse than Houston traffic at 2:30 when I'm coming in on an ordinary day. So I was a little stressed out at that point.
All right.
Just wanted to get here, do the show. Jeez. I mean, I'm almost never late, by the way.
You're not.
I don't know what else I could have done. I mean, I thought about just coming in here into the bathroom and cleaning up here, but I don't have clothes. In the old days, I would have had gym clothes in my bag and could have just thrown on those sweaty gym clothes or gone over to the gym and cleaned up.
Yeah.
But that doesn't exist anymore. So
it still exists.
I don't know. Is that one still open?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't matter. I'm not going back. So I don't know. I didn't think of any other options, so I just went as fast as I could.
All right.
So.
You should have just left the poop until after the show. You couldn't smell it anyway.
Well, you know what? In retrospect, yes, I should have just left the poop back there and not worried about it. But once I see it there, it's like, I got to clean this up, you know? And
how do you think Fred handled this poop problem, Aaron? Give him a letter grade on how this was handled.
I'm going to say probably a C+, because at least he had the idea that if he doesn't clean it up, sitting in, it's not nearly as hot as it normally is during the summer.
Right.
But it's still warm enough that is going to bake in, that smell's going to bake in, and then Val would have killed him. But at the same time, he said he had an extra rag that he used to wipe off his face. I would have used the rag to cover it and tried to scoop up as much of it as possible before taking the thing out.
That's what I would have done, too.
Well, I think the mistake was...
Because what were you going to do once you took that thing off?
Well, I was going to... Okay, I had like a plastic bag, and I was going to take the thing off and then funnel it into the plastic bag and then kind of scrape it in there that way.
That seems like a lot of work.
Well, it at the time, it looked like it would work. I mean, it looked like it would just roll right in there, and then I scraped the rest in there, boom, done.
I'm going to go C-. So what time...
Now, hearing the rest of the plan, I'm going to agree with that.
Yeah, what time did you find the poop? What time was the discovery?
Probably about 3:40, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, because, I mean, I'd been here about...
And by 3:45, you're covered in poop, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, no. Let me go back.
Well, whenever I texted you.
3:39.
Okay.
You were covered in poop.
Yeah. So I was, that's about 3:40.
So
3:35, I guess, when I noticed. But I was sitting in the car, like I said, I was listening to Josh, and probably, I mean, that's probably here about 3:20, 3:25.
Okay. So you go home. How long does it take you to get home?
Little bit of traffic today. It wound up taking me 20 minutes. It
usually takes. So now you're there at 4.
4:05, I think. It was by the time, because I also had to do some wipe my face off, clean some stuff up before I left. So
then you get home at 4:05. How long did it take you to get back? How long did you spend at your house?
Probably about 10 minutes. I showered for 5, and then I spent about 5 minutes cleaning up the car and cleaning all the stuff out of the car, maybe 10. And then it took about 18 minutes to get back.
Was it a thorough shower?
It was as thorough as I can do in 5 minutes, yeah.
Man, I feel like I would have been extra thorough.
I was doing a lot of scrubbing.
Okay.
You know, I scrubbed everything.
I can't believe it got on your face. Did it get in your mouth?
No.
Well, that's good.
Close.
Did it get in your eye?
No. Did kind of get a little bit under my nostril, though, which...
But luckily, you can't smell anyway.
That I could smell.
Oh, okay.
When you shove it in my face like that, yeah.
Ugh. Well, I guess I'm glad you're okay. But, you know...
Well, I don't know... I guess the only thing I could have done differently was just not mess with it until after the show.
Or you could have chosen a different way to clean it up.
Yeah, well, I didn't anticipate the thing snapping on me like that. It's, you know, it's one of those, it's got like a strap and it's like vinyl, not vinyl, but like nylon or whatever. And that way, if the dogs poop in the back seat, it doesn't get on the car.
Why do your dogs poop in the back seat?
They don't. This is the first time it's ever happened.
Then why would you have that thing?
Just because, so they don't tear up the leather with their paws and stuff. It's more for that than it is anything else.
Did you have to throw that thing away?
No, I left it in the garage. I'm going to clean that up when I get home.
Okay.
I mean, it's still fine. It just needs to get the crap off of it. But I didn't have time to do that.
So not as bad as your jeans.
No. The jeans are. Ugh.
They're gone. All right. Let's get off the poop talk. Let's talk to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing sports. What's up, man?
Man, I just had a question on the ethics of online betting, I guess. Say you were on mybookie.com, you're looking at prop bets, and you find one where the line's out. Say it looks like they might have added an extra zero in there. Would you feel guilty about placing a bet on something like that?
Never. It'll probably be canceled anyway, but never feel guilty about it. If you feel like you can get it up, you can get over on the book, by all means do it. All right, and if they don't find it, that's on them.
Agreed.
Because trust me, if you misclick, if you want to play the over and you accidentally hit under, it's not like you can call them and change it. Okay, so if they make a mistake and they don't find it, that's their problem. Don't ever feel bad for bookmakers; they want to take your money.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have a buddy that you make bets with that doesn't take a vig, you guys play. You both play plus 100. If there's a mistake in the paperwork, you let that slide.
Right.
All right? You let them know, hey, you messed up here. They're taking minus 110 from you all the time. Yeah, you can't feel bad for them. They're already you're paying money to bet with them. If they make a mistake, that's their problem.
Right. Hey, they have every advantage.
Yeah.
So if they screw up and give you an advantage, take it. Now, in that case, they're going to go ahead and I guarantee you they'll cancel a bet.
Yeah, they'll cancel it. It's not like it's not like finding a wallet on the ground, okay? It's not like if somebody's hurting, it's not someone you feel sorry for, okay? This is like Scrooge McDuck dropping a dollar on the ground. Don't feel bad picking that up.
Oh, over under 4.5 the number of F-bombs Fred dropped during that fiasco. Way over. Way over. And everybody thinks you're questioning me like you're the boss.
I like to get to the bottom. This is how I question everybody. I like to get to the bottom of things.
Well, you know.
I'm an interviewer. I like to investigate.
I think it's fair to question some of my decision-making in this.
I'm just trying to get...
That's all.
I'm getting the timeline. I don't get. I mean, it's not like Fred's getting written up. No one cares. Josh was here, and we got through the first 45 minutes of the show. But for the purposes of radio, like, I could have easily asked Fred these questions off the air, but I didn't because I feel like the audience is interested in the story.
Well, I think they're curious why I wasn't here for
Our
45
job
minutes.
Is to story tell.
Well, that's
so,
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, But yeah, that's I'm totally fine. That's why I said wait for the air. I figured if I'm gonna, because the options are that I had there were either tell the story as it happened, or make something up, or just say, hey, I had a personal thing. I don't want to talk about it, which had been the easiest thing.
You would have never gotten away with that.
I would have.
I mean, you would have off the air, but I certainly would have given you the third degree on the air, and you would have had to come up with something, or you would have looked crazy.
Not to just change the subject and talk about Bob Gibson,
I would have just let you get away with that.
Probably.
How long have you worked with me? You absolutely know that's not the case.
No, I could just Braddock it and shut down.
Anyone who's ever heard me do a radio show, if I sense that you're uncomfortable talking about something, that's all we're talking about going forward. Ask Juggalo Trey. That's all we talk about.
Yeah, I know that trick though. So.
You also know I'm like a rabid dog. Like once I bite in on that, you're not getting me off of it.
I'm also a little bit relieved because when I walked in there to talk to you guys about updating live breaks and stuff like that, and Lawyer Dave, and he said it was the dog, all of a sudden I was like, oh man, did one of them get hurt or like left out or ran away and got hit or something? Like that's what my immediate worry was, like if he has a dog that either got hurt or ran away and he's still here doing the show, then I would feel really bad.
Did you call your vet and say, hey, on top of whatever we did today, my dog's got diarrhea?
No, because I didn't. I had no time after that happened. First off, I didn't. You know, okay, so the dog has diarrhea. Great.
What if it's something that the vet did?
Oh, no. It was just they were just checking on her and weighing her and stuff. You know, okay. Ordinarily, I'd walk her down there, but she's getting old and getting. And it's only a couple blocks, but she was moving really slow today and kind of needed to get some pain meds for her.
Well, she's sick.
Well, apparently so.
Do you think it started as diarrhea or it melted into?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate.
Well, you were probably parked in your garage.
So I was parked in my garage. So
it's not like a baking hot day like it has been.
No, I mean,
it's pretty nice outside, actually.
Yeah, so I don't think that's the case.
And usually turds don't melt. Dog turds, they usually, I mean, they turn into solid rocks.
Right.
But even in extreme heat, they don't melt, generally. I'm not a scientist.
I'm glad we have your expertise.
I know a little bit about dog poop, though. I do have two dogs.
Yeah. So. But, you know, I don't know what to say other than I'm just glad. I should have just walked in here and said, hey, Aaron, I got to run home. Take a look at me. That probably would have gone over real well.
Yeah.
No, because then every one of us would have pulled out our phones and snapped as many pictures as we could chasing you towards the elevator.
Yeah, the little bit on the side of my face there was pretty gross. Ugh. Oh, am I making you uncomfortable now?
Awesome. The thought of having dog excrement on my face is it's just so repulsive to me.
Oh, no, I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Yeah. I would have 100% stripped down and drove home like just in my underwear, and all those clothes would have been in the back of my car. Yeah. I don't care. If I get pulled over, I'll explain to the cops, and it'll be a really funny story to tell one day. But yeah, there's zero chance I could ride home. Once the poop was on me, I would have to immediately get it off me.
Yeah, that wasn't easy. I'll just say, because I didn't want to take my shirt off, because God forbid somebody sees me driving without my shirt on. You know, that'll cause an accident.
I mean, that's just pretend like you're in Southern California.
Done it before.
Yeah, I've done it plenty. I used to drive home, like when I would have a real hard day training at the gym, I would just drive home in my underpants because all my clothes would be soaked through and disgusting. And I was like, well, I'll put down a towel on my seat and drive home in my underpants.
We did that every day at Discount Tire during the summer. Yeah. When you get out of a 124-degree garage and you're completely soaked, you strip down, throw it in the bed of the truck in the bag, and then sit on the new towel.
That's the way you
roll,
man.
And then you wash that towel and put a new one in the next morning.
Now, unless there's like an area where you have to walk. But you have a garage, so it's not an issue for you.
Yeah, basically, I just go in the garage. And
if you had to park out in front of your house, that would have been a problem. Like walking into your house in just your underwear would have been difficult. Are you wearing boxers or briefs today?
Boxer briefs.
Okay. So, that's acceptable.
Yeah, but I
feel like if I were a briefs man, I would be more hesitant to walk around. Like,
yeah.
But like I was always wearing like compression shorts, so I always figure – I mean, if these guys who ride bicycles can ride their bicycles in these shorts, I can go from my driveway into my house wearing them. I don't give a damn. But yeah, no chance I could have ridden home in poop covered clothing. Zero.
The good news is, like, we're staying downstairs right now because we're having the upstairs bedroom painted.
Yes.
So it was easy to just run right in and use the downstairs shower. I didn't have to run up and down the stairs. That probably saved me about 2 minutes.
Well, that's good to hear.
So that way I was able to make it in time for the last segment of the first hour.
And it's
hour.
Less spreading of the poop.
True. Because, I mean, there could have been some drippage. I don't know. I'm going to have to check that garage when I get home. So...
All right. Tell people about my bookie, friend.
I will tell them about my bookie. And basically, whatever you want to bet on, you want to get in on the baseball, you want to get in on the NBA finals, and you got a game tonight. You got a thriller tonight you can bet on if you want in the NFL. And, hey, it doesn't matter how bad the teams are. You can bet on them, and you can win. And that's what you do at my bookie. And when you win, they pay. That's the best thing about this site. And it doesn't matter what you're into, parlays, live betting, totals, lines. They've got it all. And the live betting is fantastic. And it's easy deposits, easy withdrawals, and there's a lot of options to get in on the action. And especially now, you're going to have a full college football schedule this weekend for the most part. So now is the time to get in on MyBookie. And if you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. Send a promo code radio when you sign up. That's promo code radio. And they will match that first deposit 100%. And fast payouts when you win, which, hey, a lot of these sites, part of the gamble is putting your money in. That's not the case with MyBookie. Promo code radio. They'll match your first deposit 100%. MyBookie.ag. You bet you win, they pay. MyBookie. And if I ain't enough, go get the chop. It's safe to say I earned it. Ain't a new. Gave me nothing. I'm ready to hop out on a new. Get the fuck.
You're listening to The Blitz. The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
This fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. I love the Aged, which is an aging kit for your favorite booze. They've got something for everybody, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month, no matter what you're into. Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. I'm looking forward to the flip. A gorgeous folding knife made from Damascus steel. To get started, take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. Enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
You'll never believe what's happened today.
What?
Will Fuller is on the injury
report. Oh, no!
Yeah.
I don't. Let me guess. Hamstring?
I don't know.
It doesn't say.
Will Fuller is on the injury report, so.
Well, it usually tells you why.
Let's see.
Did I already delete that? I've got the transcripts from today, but I haven't read them yet.
Fuller was added with a hamstring injury, limited participant, which could indicate that he was hurt during the session. Yeah.
God, that guy's never going to be anything.
He's played 3 games this season. What do you mean?
Did he actually play in that second game? The one where he wasn't targeted?
Kind of.
Okay.
He's played what? He's missed 22 games over the last 4 seasons. So that's 22 out of 64.
Carry the 2.
So he misses about a third of the games.
All right. So he's ahead of pace so far.
Yeah.
Well, now he's on pace.
He's on pace.
Yeah, because he did apparently.
And guess what? Guess who else missed practice again today? DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, that's the end.
Where's your God now? Huh? Where is this DeAndre Hopkins? Oh, he's the best. The best. Blah, blah, blah. You know, who's a full participant today? Take a wild guess. David Johnson. You crybabies. Texans got over on the Cardinals in that deal. I'll tell you that much. Let's talk to Shannon.
They got
Shannon.
What?
Shannon wants to talk some important stuff.
Oh, no.
What's up, Shannon?
Hey, poop sports.
Poop and sports. What's up?
Well, I was wondering if we had a new tagline. I can hear Fred already. Are you ready for some non-pedo, poo-poo-smeared COVID update news?
Are you, Fred? Is that what we're going to call it now?
No, that's not what we're going to call it.
There no poop got on your laptop,
There's
I hope.
No poop on my laptop. It was in its bag. It was fine. It was safe.
No poop got on your mask, I hope.
I did switch masks to be safe.
Oh, no.
I switched everything when I got home.
Okay.
So the rest of it.
Did you even change your underwear?
I did, yes.
Okay.
I changed everything.
Okay. But there was no poop on your underwear?
There was no poop on my underwear, no.
Not even on the inside?
No.
Okay, that's good.
No.
That would have been a concern.
Yeah, well.
It would have been a concern.
No poop.
Would have raised more questions.
Yeah, we were going to have another line of questioning.
Okay, can we move on from the poop? I mean, it wasn't as bad as I'm making it sound. It's just that I wasn't going to walk around with poop on me, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't completely covered, but there was enough on my shirt, there was a little on my face, and there was some on my pants that I felt like I needed to go shower and get that crap out of there.
Well, I'm glad that you did.
Okay. I can do my positive, my non-pedo positive COVID update, though,
okay,
since you brought it up.
Won't be poop smeared because you did clean up.
No, it's not poop smeared. Jeez, I knew I should have just made something up. I really, okay. I hate my life so much.
I don't blame you.
Only 543 new cases yesterday. So up a little bit from where it's been, but still very low, comparatively speaking. So our trend of fewer and fewer cases in the city of Houston continues.
Okay. It's good news.
Yeah, it is good news. So everybody keep doing what you're doing. You know, social distance, wear your masks. And everything great. Nothing like getting off work and having the pleasure of listening to Fred's dog poop story. Thursday is complete.
I mean, listen, you chose here. This is what you chose, buddy.
I know. I should have just... I think in retrospect, I should have just called in sick.
I mean, now that would have pissed me off if you called in sick 30 minutes before the show started.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could have gone to the, I did the temperature check at the front thing.
You can't. See, but you can't I can't do COVID that.
I know.
To get out of work.
I think that's a replay. I hate that. I hate when they do that.
Man,
I think it's a.
Yeah,
replay.
That was the second. That's a replay. That was the one that happened in the second inning.
Boy, he hit that one a long way, didn't he?
Yeah.
The A's in a little bit of trouble here. Two White Sox on, one out. What inning is that? Is it the fifth or sixth that's, now?
Well, I can see the score. I can't.
Or is
see
it the me. Seventh, Aaron?
Aaron,
that is the top of the seventh.
Top of the seventh.
Two on, okay. One out.
So White Sox running out of chances.
Yeah, and boy, if you're an Astros fan, I think you really want the A's.
Oh, yeah. I've been saying that. John Granato and Lance disagree.
Really?
And, yeah. But maybe, you know, maybe that's because the A's, you've gone head-to-head with them and you've had not much success. So I guess I kind of get that, but... No, I think the A's are a better matchup for you.
Well, I know that they didn't have a lot of success with them in the regular season, but that was an A's team that had its best player still.
Yep.
So, and a lot of people happy to see Trevor Tyler Bauer making an early exit.
Yeah, they weren't. Oh, God, the poor Reds. I mean, zero runs scored in two games. That's... including one that was, what, like a 13-inning game? That's not good.
No.
That can't feel good.
Well, that's the thing. You got the pretty much the game of his life out of that, and you lost.
Yeah.
So once that happens, I didn't give him much chance today. So and so far, we haven't had the big surprise yet, which, I think with those three-game series, you were a little worried that, hey, what if somebody gets hot and – you know, gets a couple of good pitching outings and all of a sudden the Yankees are done or something like that. But so far, not really. I mean, I guess the Marlins over the Cubs, but is that big of a shock?
No.
Yeah. And it's only one game still too, yep. But yeah, the Braves winning doesn't surprise me. Dodgers are in a good spot. So, you know, so far we haven't seen the madness that I was hoping for because I like chaos.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen a little chaos here. But, you know, even the Astros over the Twins, you're just like, ah, well, 18 in a row. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And if you stick around, we're going to have some Brad Powers.
All right.
A little college football gambling. Looking forward to that. It is a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Here in the dark side of me. This is ESPN 97.5. Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right, we are back on the Blitz, 5:30 Thursday, so you know what that means. Our boy Brad Powers from Brad Powers Sports joins us on the program. Hello, Bradley.
How you guys doing on a fine Thursday?
We're hanging in there. Fred got covered in dog poop earlier today, so he was late for work. But besides that, we're doing well. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I can't complain. I certainly
now that you hear that, you can't complain.
I'm doing better than Fred. Let's just put it that way.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Well, Brad, I guess let's jump right into it. Obviously, there was some positives and some negatives last week. I guess we'll start with some of the teams that had high hopes and got wildly disappointed. Oklahoma and LSU, who I guess I knew LSU would be they would be down from what they were last year. Obviously, I didn't know they'd be down, give up 600 something passing yards, and get thumped by Mississippi State down.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree with that. I mean, I downgraded LSU more than any team I've ever done before in an off season, and it wasn't nearly enough. Now, obviously, losing Derek Stingley right before the game, their All-American cornerback, probably the best player on the team, when you're facing an air raid offense, that certainly wasn't ideal, but still doesn't excuse, how bad they were. I mean, I would say this, Mississippi State could have easily won that game by more. I mean, the Bulldogs had four turnovers, gave up an interception return touchdown. I mean, that could have been a 3-4 touchdown win for Mississippi State. So I significantly downgraded LSU even more. And guys, we might be looking at a defending national champ that, because they're playing 10 conference games, might struggle to be right around 5-5, 6-4 this year.
Well, this is a game that if they lose this, I think there's got to be some real concerns. But they are 21-point favorites on the road against Vanderbilt, and I would have thought that after their start, there'd be a hesitance to put in a bunch of money on them. But they opened at 18.5, so clearly some money coming in on LSU. You think that's the right sign?
No, I mean, but I'm not willing to jump in and say Vanderbilt, is really the correct play. What I bet was the over. I still think they're not properly pricing LSU totals. I mean, they don't have anybody pretty much back on defense, and they're still using a lot more tempo than what they did under Les Miles. So over was my original position, although that's climbed a few points now. I'll say this, Vanderbilt shocked me. I mean, that's one final that's not getting enough pub among the national media is Vanderbilt legitimately playing Texas A&M to what that final was, 17-12. It's not like they were +5 in turnovers or whatnot. I mean, hell, it was Vanderbilt turning over a few times. Otherwise, maybe they could have won the game outright. So, I mean, I'm going to watch the game to see if LSU can rebound if it's just a one-off. And I'm also going to see if Vanderbilt's just a much better team than what I anticipated coming into it, because I thought Vanderbilt would be a double-digit underdog in every single SEC game this year, and I was pegging them for 0-10.
Oklahoma, they end up losing to Kansas State a week after Kansas State lost to Arkansas State, which is, I mean, just a really – I don't know that anybody thought Oklahoma was on upset alert this weekend. They open at 10.5 against Iowa State on the road. Have come down to 7 now. What do you like in that Oklahoma-Iowa State matchup?
Yeah, I'd lay the 7 with Oklahoma. I'm not as concerned with Oklahoma as I would be LSU. I mean, the fact of the matter is, for the first 40 minutes or so of that game against Kansas State last week, it was playing pretty much out as expected. I mean, it was 35-14. And then what happens? A few turnovers, a punt block, boom, bang, they end up losing the game. So I'm not saying Oklahoma is as good as what they've been the last 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure if they're a playoff contender. like those teams were, but I still think that they're still one of the best teams in the Big 12. And what I haven't been impressed with is Brock Purdy, the Iowa State quarterback, to me, is just not getting any better. I mean, he had a ridiculous interception return touchdown last week that I wouldn't expect from a freshman in high school, let alone a three-year starter in college that a lot of people think is a borderline first-round pick. I don't think that's the case. I think Oklahoma, off a loss, it's been money. They haven't lost back-to-back games in the regular season since 1999, 34-0 straight up, and they've covered about 65% of those. Give me the Sooners minus the 7.
Sort of a weird situation in Georgia. I don't like when teams do this. I don't like when teams have three quarterbacks because it means they don't have one quarterback. But Dwan Mathis, who started against Arkansas, they struggled a little bit. They bring in Stetson Bennett. He looked good, and they end up blowing Arkansas out. And now there's people pushing for JT Daniels, who I get he's a big name because he was at USC and he was a top recruit. But JT Daniels didn't do anything at USC that makes me say, oh, you'll be so lucky if you can get JT Daniels in the game. What's Georgia going to do at quarterback this year or this week? And how do you feel about them at Auburn or them hosting Auburn?
Yeah, I mean, Kirby Smart, the head coach for Georgia, is keeping a pretty tight lip. Did say that JT Daniels is clear, but hasn't necessarily said he's going to start and play the whole game. I expect probably to see both Bennett and JT Daniels. That would be my expectation. Normally with a team struggling like that, the quarterback position in a big game like this one, I go to the dog. And I did bet Auburn at an opener plus 8, good number there. But it was more the number than anything. It's not like I'm wild about what I saw from Auburn last week, even though they covered a game won by 16 or a pretty decent Kentucky team. I thought that was very misleading. I thought Auburn could have lost the game outright. So, I'm getting around to is I know it's the game of the week. It's the biggest game we've probably had in college football so far this season. But at the current number, I don't see a hell of a lot of value here. It's going to be a pass for me until in game.
This one is not a game of the week, but I'm real interested in it for a couple of reasons. SMU getting points against Memphis, a Memphis team that hasn't played yet, that had to stop because of the COVID, whose best players opted out. SMU's had a couple games under its belt. I like the ponies here. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think you are because I bet SMU. I still like SMU. I think they're clearly the play here. I've liked what I've seen. Obviously, it was a little bit of a rough start there in the opener against Texas State, but heck, Texas State, I think, is a vastly improved team. I mean, Texas State should have beaten Boston College last week, so that's not a bad performance there by SMU. And in the last couple weeks, they haven't played hardly anybody, but at least they've done what they were supposed to do. They easily won and covered those games. Memphis, who knows? I mean, I bet against the Tigers in week one, but, I mean, again, that was a month ago, and they haven't played since. One of their best players opted out, new coach for them, COVID issues. I mean, it all lines up for me to bet SMU, and that's why I did it. The only caveat that I have here is, man, Memphis has owned SMU. I mean, own the pony. 6 straight wins by an average of 30 points per game and 6 straight covers by 18 points per game. That's the only thing, you know, preventing me from saying SMU game of the week material.
Texas, who survives by the skin of their teeth, and really the hope of the Big 12 for the playoffs survived by the skin of Texas's teeth, because I think if they would have lost that game, I don't think a Big 12 team makes a playoff at that point. I'll say this. You're going to have to talk me off betting against Tom Herman as an 11.5-point favorite against a TCU team that just seems to own his ass.
Yeah, I think TCU's the play here. It's not one of my strongest plays, but I certainly would go with the Horned Frogs here, especially with Doug and, you know, their quarterback coming off the bench, throwing for 241 yards and 3 touchdowns and basically a half last week. He looked like he was 100% ready to go. And you're right, TCU in the series has won and covered 5 of the last 6. I mean, their average wins by 19 points per game. They're covered by 2 touchdowns. It's their biggest underdog role in the series since 1995 when they were both playing in the Southwest Conference. Certainly, Tom Herman's terrible as a favorite, as it is, and I'll take TCU here.
This A&M-Alabama game, we were expecting a big spread, but do you think that one of the things I've kind of noticed about the COVID is like the second game teams play, it's almost like they really need that first game to get right, and then we start seeing what they are. Are we going to see a better Aggie team than what we saw against Vanderbilt? Is there value in the 18, or is it just, you know, I because they sure did not look good in that game.
I mean, the number is inflated. Pure power rating for me says it should be 15. Usually a three-point difference would say for me, you know, value, big value, A&M. I'm not willing to go there. I mean, I was on the A&M bandwagon. You go back, you know, to February, March, and early April, I thought A&M would be one of the dark horse, you know, national title contenders, but number one, their schedule got a hell of a lot tougher with pulling Florida and Tennessee from the East. Number two, I mean, of all the title contenders that we thought of the 10-12 teams that can possibly make a run for it, I mean, A&M lost four guys to opting out, and we just didn't see that among a lot of the other national title contenders. So I don't know what's going on there. You know, obviously issues with Jimbo back at his previous stop at Florida State. And they're just not getting any better. Kalamon doesn't look necessarily improved, although he had a bunch of wide receivers drop passes last week. And they better be a hell of a lot better. Otherwise, I could see this being a blowout. And I'll say this. Nick Saban is ticked off. If you've watched a couple of his press conferences, he is not happy the way that game against Missouri ended. I mean, he's basically what Brad Powers was on that final play of the game. So if they get an opportunity to finish, I expect Alabama to finish this week. That's why I don't want an A&M pick in my pocket.
I saw a lot of people upset about the A&M or the Alabama finish last week. I bet Alabama first half. So I was already had cash in my pocket. I wasn't worried about what happened for the rest of the game. But that's typically a strategy for me with Alabama early in the season. It's worked the last several years. Alabama first half. You think 10, 11 points in the first half is a good number for this one, or is that still feeling like it's overinflated?
No, it's a pretty solid number, probably inflated by a half point or so. It's not getting pricey now, but if that streak continues, if it, you know, starts off the season where Alabama's 3-4-0 in the first half, then you'll start really paying a premium here. People will remember that trend, something that I forgot, but heck, I had 8 points of line value. I shouldn't have been worrying about a backdoor cover when I already had a free touchdown from what I bet. So we'll see. But, yeah, you were on it. Tip of the cap to you, AJ.
Sort of this would have to be a hold-my-breath kind of play, but it's almost impossible for me to see Army as a 30-point favorite and not bet the other side. I know it's Abilene Christian, but just the way Army plays, doesn't it seem like it might be tough for Army to get 30 points of separation in a game?
Yeah, I mean, I can't make the bet on Army just because with limited possessions, big numbers, they're just traditionally not a really good favorite. But I'm not willing to run to the window and bet Abilene here. I think Army's defense is legit, and I'm not sure Army has to put many points on the board because what's the over-under on Abilene's point total? 10 at most? Yeah, I mean, I came away, I get it, Army got beat by 2 touchdowns last week, but I thought defensively that they looked the part so far this year. They're only giving up 10 points per game and 60 rushing yards per game. I mean, they might only have to score 35, 38 points to cover it. I mean, Abilene might score 3 or 7, so no bet for me.
I'm gonna not give you my opinion on something because I want your open and honest thoughts on this game. So I'm just going to ask for your handicap on the Arkansas State Coastal Carolina game.
I like Coastal Carolina. I get it a lot. You know, after Kansas State beats Oklahoma, a lot of people are going to say, hey, man, Arkansas State, they beat Kansas State. Good football team. I agree Arkansas State is a good football team, but I think Coastal Carolina is overlooked this year. They've upgraded a quarterback big time. They're experienced. They were the only team in the country that got all 15 spring practices in. And so far, so good. They're 2-0. They only got beat by 1 at Arkansas State last year. So they know full well they can compete with this team. So I like Coastal Carolina. It's one of my favorite plays of the week.
That's not what I was hoping you'd say.
I apologize.
That's all right. That's why I asked for it.
That's why I love Brad, though, is he can break down every little detail of Coastal Carolina and Arkansas State. So there you have it. Brad Powers, you can follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Great stuff as always, buddy. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right.
Oh, I should have asked him about Texas Tech, Kansas State.
Yeah.
Who do you think's more hyped up right now in the betting market. Kansas State off an upset of Oklahoma or Texas Tech.
Kansas State, I would say.
Okay.
Because people were...
They're minus 2.5.
Yeah, I don't have any feel for that game whatsoever. I mean,
I don't either. I know. I don't know who the real Kansas State is.
Yeah, because it feels like Kansas State should be bigger than that, but...
You want to know something crazy? Texas Tech, they're, like, as many points as they put up, their yards per play was not very good. I don't know how they were even really in that game.
Yeah, when you look at it statistically, yeah. It's like, really?
Okay. I was reading the stats, I'm like, what? How'd this happen? But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know which way to look.
All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have 3-layer nano silver protection. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Little late hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock coming tonight. Hall of Fame, Booker T and Brad at 9. Let's do a Is That Our Jeweler's Gym of the Day?
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Paddock Jeweler gem of the day.
All right. You're probably not a fan of Conan the Barbarian.
Not my favorite.
The two Arnie movies were horrible, but I loved them. It's one of those things that I'll still watch them. Especially the first one where he couldn't even talk. Crossed your enemies, see them during before you, hear the lamentation of the women.
It was a struggle for him.
It was, but he obviously got some lessons in between the first and the second one. They did a remake a few years ago. I didn't watch it. It wasn't very good. Well, apparently...
Well, how do you know it wasn't good if you didn't watch it?
I mean, let me rephrase that. I watched about 5 minutes of it. It looked awful, and, it didn't have the charm of the original Conan.
Gotcha.
So, Netflix is currently developing a Conan the Barbarian TV show. Details remain somewhat scarce at the moment, but they're hoping to turn this into a franchise-type thing. Okay, as somebody who thinks the movies are awful but still loves them, I don't know that this is going to work. I don't know that this is the franchise you're looking for. I don't think this is going to be your Star Wars. I think its time has kind of passed.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
There have been better sort of fantasy things since then. But, so it's just going to be one project. God, the first one was 1982. Arnie's first one with Conan the Barbarian.
Damn, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was two.
Jason Momoa was the one who was in the reboot, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did I not hear about this?
I like I said, I didn't even know what happened until I saw it on cable one night, and I started watching it. I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. And I like Jason Momoa. I mean, I watched him in that blind guy show. But anyway, that's your Zadok Jeweler's Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Space Ghost says Conan would be similar to The Witcher. Yeah, except The Witcher has the game tie-in.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, I think that's what...
Do you like that game?
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be up your alley.
Yeah, I do. And I love the show. I thought it was awesome because I love Henry Cavill. I mean, I'm not big usually on games being turned into shows, but there's a few that I like, and that one I thought was fun. So, somebody said maybe get Dave Bautista to do it. That would be a good Conan. Although I think he's too popular now for
he might be.
A Netflix special like that. So, yeah, he even did that movie with the little girl.
Yep.
So, and Space goes, only so much room for fantasy TV shows with swords. That's true. And, you know, after Thrones and after Lord of the Rings, where do you go with this stuff? I mean, how do you, I mean, you got to be really, I mean.
It's not my favorite. It's not my cup of tea anyway.
Well, I like the genre, and I think there's actually better fantasy books out there than Game of Thrones that would make better shows. But I also, I think we've talked about this before. It's like science fiction. Most of these things fail miserably. It's you've got to catch something special for it to work. And, you know, Game of Thrones did that. I don't know why. I think it was just a combination of, you know, right show at the right time, and everybody got into it. But for the most part, you release a fantasy and it's just flat.
Yeah.
So, Hollywood is so hell bent on reboots that I'm going to pitch my live action Blitz remake to Netflix. Yeah, back in the day. 713-780-ESPN. What's still 6-4 up there?
Looks that way.
Yep, top of the eighth, one out, two on for the Sox.
Oh, and Abreu up. This may be like the moment of the series right here.
Yeah.
The probable league MVP at bat, two on. Yeah, this is a big spot. This is what Tatis came up in this spot yesterday and whiffed at a ball that he couldn't have hit with an oar. So, what's the count here?
2-2.
Oh, boy, big moment. Big moment. And double play.
Yep. Yep.
Would have been better off whiffing at it. It looked like he was going to.
Yeah, he just barely
touched it.
Yeah.
Dude, maybe I'm an idiot, but I tell these kids, like the kids that I work with, the same thing. And I see big leaguers doing this, and I don't understand it. At least when I played baseball, like, trust me, I struck out plenty, especially once you get to the level where the curveball's really good. Like in high school, I struck out a lot. But I always swung like I was trying to hit the fastball. And if you get the curveball, still swing. Like if you're swinging, don't slow down your swing and just touch it. That's going to do you no good. I would rather swing so hard I look ridiculous than tap the ball like that, because look what happened. You'd much rather just strike out then roll into a double play there. Look at these guys who stop their swing and then just reach out and touch it. I'm never going to understand it. Just swing like you're trying to hit it as far as you can. And if you miss it, there's a guy up behind you.
I was always.
You also got to expect that ball in that spot. Like,
yeah.
I mean, 2-2, you knew he wasn't going to throw you one down the middle.
I was a really good hitter until I started, because I was left-handed. Until I faced my first good left-handed pitchers with breaking stuff. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't matter what I was guessing. It all looked like it was going to hit me in the back of the head.
I feel like kids, especially in this area, they probably watched and remember when Altuve won the batting title, where he had that run where he would stretch out and just randomly tap a ball and it would sail right over the first baseman's head.
Yeah.
And they'd go, how does he do it? How does he do it? And then everybody, as a child, you look at it and go, oh, well, he can do it. I can
well,
do
it's
that.
Like that's like thinking you can do what Ichiro did.
Yeah,
like all you got to do is just touch the ball, and then you're going to be on first. And it doesn't work that way in real life. Like my kid, if he doesn't hit to the outfield, he's out. Now he's playing on he's playing on a high school field because he's playing up on the 60-foot, 90-foot field.
Right, right.
If he doesn't hit it out of the infield, there's zero chance he's going to make it to first. And, you know, that's just that most of the time in Major League Baseball, if you hit it in the infield on the ground, you're out. Unless you're Ichiro or Jose Altuve. There's like very few rare examples. And even now, Jose Altuve, he ain't beating those out anymore.
No, no. But there was that, when he won that batting title, there were plenty of balls that season where you said, why in the hell did you swing? Oh, never mind.
No, you're right.
And it bounced just enough to go over the baseman's head and into the outfield. And all of a sudden you look at it and go, that wouldn't happen 9 times out of 10, but it did that season.
But he wouldn't get cheated there either, though. I mean, he would do what AJ's saying. He'd swing hard, and if he just happened to be wrong about the pitch, he might hit it hard enough to get a hit.
He just doesn't barrel it up.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a lot of hits like that. So knocked it off the end of the bat, but he hit it hard enough.
So. All right, I got to tell you guys about Texas Star Grill Shop. I love these guys. They treated me right, man. I went in and I didn't know what kind of grill I needed. I didn't know what I was looking for exactly. I knew I wanted a new grill, but I was like, well, and they said, well, what are you cooking? How often are you cooking? How do you like to cook? Do you want something easy? Do you want to put some work in? What do you want? And basically, they pointed me in the right direction, and I could not be happier with the grill that I ended up with. I ended up with a Pits and Spits. Normally, there's a wait list on these things, but guess what? Right now, they've got some inventory for their fall grill sale, so they've got some in stock. You can get them now without a wait. Traeger, they've got. Napoleon, they've got. Memphis. Kamado Joe, very popular this year. They've been sold out of those most of the year, but they've got a bunch of containers coming in right now, so they've got them in stock. Now's the time to buy, guys. The fall grill sale going on now. You can save big money and find the grill of your dreams. They've got all the rubs. They've got all the tools. They've got cookbooks. Whatever you need, they've got it there at Texas Star Grill Shop. Find them in Houston, Katy, Spring. Free delivery and assembly. And always open online, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
The bad guy. Duh.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!